Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Tonight's class is dedicated to my good friend, and as ever, I've been here in New Dwarka since 1983. This person has always been my well-wisher. So tonight's class is dedicated to Srimati Jagad Ambika Devidasi, whose birthday is Saturday. So if you have a Bhagavad Gita, please let us chant the opening introductory prayers, which are found in page 1. We'll do them together in unison rather than response. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakrunmili Tangyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishnam Stapitangyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Ludati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uttapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savarhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitangcha He Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Pati Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Everybody Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Everybody one more time please Hare Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is entitled The Opulence of the Absolute. The Absolute is defined in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Please repeat, Vedanti Tat Tattva Vidas. Pretty weak. Okay, we'll skip that. How about this line? Brahmeti. Everybody, hello. Paramatmeti. Doing better. Bhagavan. Ha. Iti shabdyate. The absolute truth is defined by those who know the absolute truth to be one non-dual substance, which is known in three features. Brahman, all-pervasive, spiritual energy. Paramatma, Krishna in the heart of every living being, every atom. And then ultimately, Krishna himself, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have 27 devotees on the internet listening. We welcome you to this class. Don't touch that dial. Stay here. You will enjoy Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 devotees in the temple room and those on the altar. Let us chant now. Please repeat. Tesham satata yuktanam. Yes, and if you can, try to chant loud. We'll get more out of it. Tesham satata yuktanam. Very good. Very good. Bhajatam pritipurvakam. And we have our first devotee online, Chiman. Haribol Prabhu. I know Chiman. He's a good friend of mine. Haribol Chiman. Bhajatam pritipurvakam. Dadami buddhiyogam tam. Dadami buddhiyogam tam. Ye namam upayanti te. Ye namam upayanti te. All right, again, one more time. Tesham satata yuktanam. Brenda Lee, the verse number is number 10 in chapter 10. She's from Long Beach. Very good. Welcome aboard. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Yeah, those who have books have to make up for those who don't. Ye namam upayanti te. All right, I won't torture you anymore. Let's do the synonyms word for word. So, Brenda, verse 10 in chapter 10. Synonyms. Tesham. Unto them. Satata yuktanam. Always engaged. Bhajatam. In rendering devotional service. So, as I said, this verse is the third of the four nutshell or seed verses of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada writes also that in the second canto, chapter 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are four nutshell verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Here are the four nutshell verses of Gita. This is the third one. So, tesham satata yuktanam. So, these persons are always engaged in rendering devotional service. Who can tell me how many items are there in devotional service? Generally, how many? Nobody knows how many items are in devotional service? Yes? 9. Very good. What is your name? You're a bhakta, and you knew that one. Very good. There's some people here initiated. They didn't know that. So you get this, come head of the class. Come forward. You knew that one. Very good. Now, you could have said 64, because in the Nectar of Devotion, Lord Chaitanya instructs Rupa Goswami in 64 items of devotional service, and you'll see that in the Nectar of Devotion. So you could have said 64, but the general is 9, as we learned from Prahlad Maharaj. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Vandanam Archanam Dasyam Sakyam Atman Nivedanam. Or there's that song by Govinda Das. Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Padasevana Dasyare Pujana Saki Jana Atma Nivedana Govinda Das Abhi Lasyare. So, either way, either the Bhagavatam verse or the song, we should always know there are 9 different kinds of devotional service, which are expanded out into 64 regulative principles of devotional service. But Lord Chaitanya points out that of those 9, how many are absolutely essential? Anybody know? Huh? How many first? Out of the 9, how many are absolutely essential? 2. Hearing and? Yes, because you can't do the other 7 unless you hear and chant. So Lord Chaitanya says, especially hearing and chanting, which is what you're doing right now. I'm trying to get you to chant, but you're definitely hearing unless you're sleeping. But I'll keep you awake, don't worry. Okay. Oh, good. Santa, she knew that there were 2. Santa is online, and she knew that there were 2, chanting and hearing, because she hears every lecture I give, no matter where I am. Very good, Santa. Hari Bol. And there's somebody named Anita, and she thought 1. All right. There's a guy in Canada, Mark. Hari Bol, Mike. Mike in Canada is listening, and he says Hari Bol. So as you can see, we have people all over the world listening. Whoa, we got quite a... We have Tanya is online, Ratna. Whoa. All right, we'll get to you guys later. Hari Bol. Okay, let's get back to class. So, Tesham Satata Yuktanam, and always engaged in devotional, sir, always. That's another important part. Next line, next word. Priti Purvakam, in loving ecstasy. It's like we have a Priti Bhojana. That's the love feast. Priti, love. Next word, Dadami, I give. So the speaker of this verse is who? Who is speaking this verse? Krishna. At least we knew that one. Very good. After all, it is Bhagavad Gita. There can only be a few answers. It could either be Sanjay, Dhritarashtra, Arjuna, or Krishna. But chances are, since it's Bhagavad Gita, the answer is usually Krishna. All right. So he says, I give. Next word. Buddhi yogam. Real intelligence. So this Buddhi Yoga was introduced in what chapter? When did this term Buddhi Yoga get introduced in Bhagavad Gita? What chapter was it introduced? Who knows Bhagavad Gita, Nilotpala? Nobody knows what chapter? I can't hear. It was introduced in chapter 2. In chapter 2, Krishna began his instructions with Sankhya, the difference between matter and spirit, the difference between the body and the soul, the difference between temporary and eternal. That was in chapter 2, beginning with verse number 11. and went all the way to verse 30. So that's 20 verses on the nature of the soul and the difference between the body. Then, in the next few verses, 31 to 38, Krishna addressed Arjuna in terms of his being a kshatriya, a warrior, because the Krishna's purpose of Bhagavad Gita, A, to have Arjuna go to sleep, B, to have Arjuna fight, 3, have Arjuna surrender to the other side. Which is it, A, B, or C? B, very good. Which is what? Beef them up, fight. In Hawaii, they have this kind of language where they talk like this. Yeah, Krishna, man, he had to beef them up. I have my son-in-law. He spent a lot of time in Hawaii, and sometimes he will give a Bhagavad Gita class in this special Hawaii kind of language. It's very, very funny. Yeah, yeah, man. Brah. Arjuna, he had to beef him up, you know. Very nice. So the idea is Krishna's purpose of Bhagavad Gita on one level is to get Arjuna to fight, which is why Prabhupada would always criticize that one so-called Mahatma who said Bhagavad Gita preaches nonviolence. Prabhupada would say, no. Krishna is very clear. Many times throughout Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna, get up and fight. Yes. So, Buddhi Yoga then is introduced in text number 39 in the second chapter where Krishna says, now I'm going to explain this to you by means of intelligence, buddhi. So that's verses 40 to 53 in the second chapter. It's all about buddhi yoga. Buddhi yoga is synonymous with bhakti yoga. They're both the same. They're synonyms. Because in devotional service, you have to use your intelligence. When I used to have a bookkeeping job in Westwood, I had a Jewish boss, and he knew I was a Hare Krishna devotee. So his idea of Hare Krishna was that you just sit around all day, empty your mind, and you chant this mantra, and that you empty your mind. I said, no, that's not what Krishna consciousness is. I used to get on his case, even though he was my boss. Krishna consciousness means you have to use your intelligence. He thought when you are a devotee, you don't use your intelligence, you don't use your brain. I said, no, to serve Krishna, you have to use all your brain power, all your intelligence. Even when you're chanting, we're concentrating. Are we not when we're chanting? The mantra is not some background music. No, we're supposed to be paying attention. One of the offenses is inattentive chanting. Hare Krishna. That's inattentive chanting. Real chanting is you're concentrating on the sound and making sure you pronounce the syllables. Ha, Re, Krishna, Rama. And you're concentrating. You're using your mind, not vacating it. So, Buddhi Yoga, linking with God by means of intelligence, as Prabhupada says, real intelligence. Unreal intelligence is what the karmis and demons are doing. They're using your intelligence for what? Illusion. They're using their intelligence how to remain prisoners of this material world in all their silly materialistic endeavors, which at the time of death will all be taken away. Bye-bye. Trump. Bye-bye. Who was that other fool? Warren Buffett, Asura, and all these guys, they're using their intelligence for something which ultimately they have to leave behind. So it's misused intelligence. A devotee uses his intelligence not to remain a prisoner, but what? To become free, to become liberated, to go back home, back to Godhead. That's real intelligence. Real intelligence doesn't mean now I am a C-class prisoner, I will use my intelligence to become a first-class prisoner. Oh, that's good. No. The idea is to get out of prison. Material existence is a prison. From Lord Brahma down to the Indragopa germ, everyone's a prisoner. So the goal is not to remain a prisoner, but to become free. What did you have on Monday? On all over the news, radio, and TV, they were always quoting Dr. Martin Luther King's famous speech. Free at last! No, you're not free. You're not free. You're still a conditioned soul. Real freedom, that's what Prabhupada taught. That's why I joined his movement. Because Prabhupada's movement is the only movement that really is guaranteeing you eternal freedom. Yeah, you want freedom, you got to get out of this material world and go back to Krishna. Otherwise, another birth means another imprisonment. In a prison, you know the prisoner because he has that uniform, either stripes or orange, but you know they don't wear Gucci and Prada in jail. When you go to jail, one size fits all, everybody looks the same, and it's not saffron dhotis. It's an orange jumpsuit or whatever. So, what is your prison stripes? It's called the material body. Whether it be male or female, human, demigod, or insect, 8,400,000 different kinds of prison suits. You want real freedom, eternal freedom, you have to inherit your original spiritual body. That's what Prabhupada is offering when you join his movement. That's why I joined this movement. I do not want to come back to this rotten, stinking, filthy, cheating material world. I don't know about you, but I've had enough of it. I want to go back home, back to Krishna. Who wants to go? Say, Hari Bol. Very good. All that want to stay, go ahead. You can stay. You can guarantee that you will come back by not chanting. If you want to remain a prisoner, don't chant. But if you want freedom, then chant. What should you chant, Ganesh? That's it? Come on. Very good. All right. Where can I get this verse? Chapter 10, verse 10. Chanting and hearing. Okay. Jai Prabhu. Mark. Oh, we got Mark from Albuquerque. Welcome, Mark. Sri Lalita from Buena Park, Haribol. Eon, we have a devotee in Jamaica, man. Yeah, we have Eon, Haribol, Jamaica, man. Eon, Haribol. Chiman says, we have Ratna, Haribol. Ratna Bhushan is online. Haribol, Ratna. All right, let's continue. Next word. Tam, that. Yena, by which. Mam, unto me. Upayanti. Come, te, they. So this verse is telling us what we have to do to go to Krishna. As Krishna says, upayanti te. Mam, upayanti te. They come to me. So that is the subject matter of this verse. And he told you, if you want to come to Krishna, then you have to be how engaged? Always. Very good. Come to the head of the class. Come. You're good. Are you leaving us? Haribol. See you next week. Haribol. So yes, always engaged in what? Devotional service. Very good. And how many kinds of devotional service are there? All right. And the general answer? Okay, good. Very good. And you should be engaged in what kind of ecstasy? Loving, the word loving ecstasy. Kamsa did not have loving ecstasy. Kamsa was always engaged in thinking of Krishna, but it was not loving ecstasy. Kamsa was always in fear, and Kamsa was always thinking, how can I kill Krishna? You don't want to do that, do you? No, you want to think of Krishna in loving ecstasy. Please repeat the translation. To those who are constantly devoted. to serving me with love. I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So just see how Krishna is, that he will help you. Krishna is helping everyone, even the non-devotee. Even the demon needs Krishna's help to be a demon. It's not that Hiranyakashipu, for example, could be Hiranyakashipu without Krishna's help. Because is Krishna in the heart of Hiranyakashipu? Yes. And we all know, well, you may not know, in chapter 15, Krishna says, I'm in everyone's heart. Not just the devotee's heart. He's in the heart of the devil also. Krishna's an equal opportunity employer. So Krishna is in everyone's heart. And Krishna says in chapter 15, from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So Krishna is also telling the demon how to be a demon. Because that's what the demon wants. The demon wants to be a demon. So Krishna says, oh, you want to be a demon? I'll help you. Don't think of me. Don't chant my name. Don't serve me. Do like this. So in the case of Kamsa or Hiranyakashipu, it was Krishna helping them, guiding them how to be a demon. Now for the devotee, Krishna is saying, yes, I will help the devotee how to come to me. For the non-devotee, Krishna is telling them how to go away from him. Do like this, and you'll be further and further and further away from me. But for the devotee who's constantly serving Krishna with love, Krishna says, I will give the understanding by which they can come to me. So this brings to mind the Hare Krishna mantra, which I've been preaching a lot these days. What are we saying when we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare? What we're saying is, O Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. When you're engaged in someone's service, that means you're getting closer and closer. That's why I keep saying, come to the head of the class. You see? Just like Subhuti brought me this glass of water. In order for Subhuti to give me this water, he had to come close to me. He can't throw the glass of water. No, Subhuti had to come. So when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we're praying to Krishna, please allow me to get closer to you so I can do some service. So there's a very dynamic, very wonderful meaning to this Hare Krishna mantra. It's not some empty words. It's not some hocus pocus or John Lennon who thought it's pie in the sky. No. It's all about, and Krishna is the most beautiful person. Just like you'll see, there's a phenomenon. There may be a big group of people in a room, but as soon as there's some celebrity, everyone is drawn to the celebrity. Everybody looks, and depending on how big of a celebrity, everybody is automatically drawn and they circle around the celebrity. It's human nature. You know, before, it's, let's say it's a party in a big swanko hotel, and there's all these little groups talking and drinking and doing. All of a sudden, if one very, very big, famous person walks in, everybody just, like a magnet, goes to that person. So, Krishna is the most attractive person in the whole universe. That's why his name is Krishna. Everybody say that name, please. Krishna. That very name means he is all attractive. When you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll see Krishna is not only attractive to the gopis, he's attractive to the cowherd boys, he's attracted to the elderly people, the animals are attracted to Krishna, the plants, the trees, the land, the water. Krishna is all attractive. Even there are instances Krishna is fighting some demon, and momentarily the demon realizes how attractive is Krishna. There you'll see, Haribol, you'll see that in Krishna book. So every once in a while Krishna's fighting a demon and the demon appreciates Krishna's attractiveness. Still he wants to fight and kill. Like Putana, when Putana saw Krishna, she realized this child, even though it's a month or two old, is so powerful, he can destroy the whole universe. But then what happens the next moment? Yes, I have that poison breast I want to kill. So sometimes the demons can even appreciate Krishna, but because of their demoniac nature, that takes over. So Krishna is all attractive. That's why he's the Supreme Absolute Truth. And that's why anyone can become Krishna conscious. Anyone. Because Krishna is all attractive. Another easy thing to appreciate. You all like prasadam, right? Jai. Prasadam is good. Prasadam is the easiest thing to appreciate how attractive is Krishna. I remember in my early days, 1973-74, the Brooklyn Temple, Nilopala was there, so she knows. We would go on the subways of New York distributing magazines. So we would make these luglus, these big sweet balls, and we were passing them out by the thousands. We would make them and package it, and we were giving out these luglus on the subways. And sometimes the train conductors would see us. Hey, you got one of those luglus, man? Yes, because prasadam is all attractive. All attractive. You heard me tell the story so many times of the first time I had Mahaprasadam. It's an event I'll never forget. So anything about Krishna, his prasadam, his Bhagavad Gita, the Maha Mantra, the deities, it's all attractive. All right, let's look at the purport. Follow along if you have the book. We'll study Srila Prabhupada's purport to this third of the four nutshell C verses. Srila Prabhupada ki. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember, here it is, I told you. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord instructing Arjuna said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. And this is another thing that I do a lot of preaching to, especially with people who think they're spiritual. People who think they're spiritual, they do not generally appreciate action in Krishna consciousness. For a lot of people who think they're spiritual, they think that action and spiritual life are incompatible terms. But Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada's explanation of Bhagavad Gita is no. Spiritual life means action, not non-action. Spiritual life necessitates action in Krishna consciousness. As Prabhupada himself says, Arjuna was being asked to fight and kill. That was his devotional service. A lot of people think, oh, if you're a warrior, you can't be spiritual. Well, Arjuna proves them wrong. Arjuna is killing, and his killing is spiritual. Just as Krishna's killing is spiritual and transcendental. So for Arjuna, his killing on the battlefield, on the instruction of Krishna, is spiritual activity. No different than when we do different items of spiritual life, such as hearing, or chanting, or remembering, or praying. These are all spiritual activities. Let's continue. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Buddhi Yoga. So again, Prabhupada is emphasizing action. In other words, Buddhi Yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. I was saying that in the beginning. That's liberation. Liberation means getting out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna. And when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. So that's one of the main themes of Bhagavad Gita, to know that the goal is Krishna. Again, in chapter 15, Krishna will say, by all the Vedas, I am to be known, Krishna. And I am the actual knower of the Vedas, and I am the compiler of Vedanta. Vedanta means the conclusion or the essence of the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. So Krishna says in that verse in chapter 15, that if you've actually studied the Vedas, or if you actually know knowledge, you should find me, Krishna. And that's the same thing he says in chapter 7. Vasudeva sarvam iti. Jnanavan, one who is full of knowledge, possessor of jnanavan, possessor of knowledge, Vasudeva sarvam iti. He knows that Vasudev, Krishna, is everything. That's what Krishna says. Let's continue. Next paragraph. When a person knows the goal of life, but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. So the fruits of activity, for most people, that's money. Everybody's working hard out there. What for? Because they love the boss? You have a regular job? Yeah. You're working for some guy, right? You like him? Thank you. So are you working for him out of love? Why are you working for him? Huh? Yeah, money, money, money. If your boss tomorrow says, you know what? I'm not going to pay you because I know you love me. And you will work for me because you're going to say, Hari Bol, Prabhu, right? That's not the arrangement, right? That's the material world. Even husband and wife in the material world. Same thing. What have you done for me lately, honey? Yes. It's all fruitive. Everybody's acting on the fruitive platform. Why do people do investments, stock market? They're looking for some fruit, right? But devotional service is different. We are serving Krishna not for payment. We are serving Krishna out of love. Bhajatam priti purvakam. Okay, let's continue. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely, in Krishna consciousness and devotional service. He is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. The favorite example, Dhruva. Dhruva approached Krishna. He did devotional service, but it was sakama. He had a big desire. Narada gave him the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narada engaged him in worshiping the deity in the forest. So he was doing a form of bhakti yoga, but Dhruva's intention was, I want the greatest kingdom. Now it just so happens that the Lord, Prishni Garba, appeared to him after 6 months. I have been chanting for over 35 years. Krishna has not appeared to me yet. Dhruva, 6 months. So there must be a difference between Dhruva's chanting and my chanting. So after 6 months, the Lord appeared to Dhruva, blessed him, and said, yes, you're going to have your own planet. You're going to first of all rule the earth for 36,000 years. Take that, Obama. I don't even think you're going to last one more term. And Dhruva would rule the earth for 36,000 years. Not only that, his senses would remain youthful. Think about that. Now I got these plastic teeth. And I need glasses. And my ears are plugged. Dhruva was going to rule the earth for 36,000 years. And all of his senses would remain youthful. How old are you? Ah, to be 20 again, people would pay millions of dollars. Trust me, you don't want to feel 59, 60. There's a big difference. Okay? So your senses are fresh and strong. Right? So Dhruva would have strong, fresh senses for 36,000 years. And then after that, your own spiritual planet where you live forever. And guess who's going to live with you? God. Dhruva hit the jackpot. But what did Dhruva say after being benedicted and the Lord disappeared? Dhruva was still unhappy. Why was he unhappy? He condemned himself that I am such a fool. I worship the Lord for some paltry kingdom. I should have worshiped the Lord just for the Lord. So he got everything, but still he condemned himself. It's a very, very important lesson, this whole Dhruva Katha, which is there in the fourth canto. So much deep meaning is there. Let's finish up. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization. But if he's still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. So just see how nice Krishna is. Krishna is always there to help you. He's always there. That we should never forget. Krishna is always there to help you. All you have to be is serious and sincere. That's it. Just be serious and sincere. Krishna will help you. You're not alone. You're not doing this Krishna consciousness alone. Krishna's in your heart. He's going to help you. The qualification is that a person always, that's the word, how many ways? Always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. because we cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was chanting 22 and a half hours every day. But we cannot imitate. So Prabhupada says, just chant 16 rounds. Haridas Thakur was chanting 192 rounds every day. 3 times 64. And we can barely do 16. So Prabhupada said, do 16, and then the rest of the day, as he says here, render all kinds of devotional services. Deity worship, temple maintenance, kitchen, restaurant, Harinam, very good service, Harinam, cooking for Krishna, all kinds of services. Because the idea is to be always engaged. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. Yes, not begrudgingly. Oh, man, I got to go to the kitchen again. Oh, man, what a drag. No, it should be with love. Oh, Jai, I get to cut Krishna's vegetables today. Oh, man, that is so cool. Oh, today it's raining. I get to go out and do Harinam in the rain. Hari Bol. Today they want me to cook the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Jai Hari Bol. This is the devotee's attitude. He has to do it with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. So yes, we must be serious and sincere. Let us do a little chanting. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. So we had at the end here, we have 39 devotees on the internet watching the class. All glories to the 39 devotees. Gopi Jana Vallava Kiri Varad Hari. Haribo Brendali in Long Beach. Gobi Jana Vallabha Giri Varad Hari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vannachari. Yamuna Tira Vannachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Bhaktin Rosi from the high desert, Hari Bol. Gopi Janna Vallava Giri Varad Hari. Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vannachari. And we have a devotee all the way in Panama. Chakrarat is online. So now we're up to 40. Chakrarat, I was just there last week. Chakrarat is a great follower of Bhagavad Gita. And he always wants me to preach Bhagavad Gita. So Chakrarat, Haribol. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivarad Hari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. So Vaikunteshwar from Austin, Texas says, thank you for a very enjoyable class. Haribo Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivarad Hari. If anybody online has a question, send in your question there in the chat and we'll answer your question. Anybody online? Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Now, here's interesting. We have somebody, Gomati, from a place called Novato. I don't know where that is on the planet. There's some place called Novato. Anyway, any questions here in the temple room? Any questions? You have a question? Yes. Okay, I understand your question. Very good question. So, at the stage that we're in now, until the point of self-realization, we will not be able to know whether it's my mind or it's actually Krishna. That's why the spiritual master is vital. All throughout Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions it over and over again. You have to have a spiritual master. So you are familiar with the book Chaitanya Charitamrita? Have you heard of that? So the author of that book, his name is Krishnadas Kaviraj. He says right at the beginning, we cannot visualize this the super soul in the heart. Therefore, the super soul manifests as the spiritual master. So the only way to know whether I'm doing right or wrong, yasya prasadad bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. We don't know anything about Krishna unless it's confirmed by the spiritual master. I'll tell you a personal story that happened to me 2-3 years ago. An Indian lady was attending some of my lectures and programs. And then one day I asked her out of humility, I said, can you please give me some advice how I can improve? And she immediately said, oh yes, you should not listen to that Prabhupada. You should only listen to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So I just didn't pay much attention. And again, later she said the same thing. And so one day I had to say, listen, there's nothing I can do. I don't know anything about Krishna or Bhagavad Gita other than what my spiritual master is saying. You want me to forget my Srila Prabhupada, I might as well commit suicide. Because I don't know anything if it wasn't for my spiritual master. You see the point? So everything, the crucial point, is to select that spiritual master who you feel is the representative of Krishna. When you find that person, then you surrender, you serve him, and you hear from him. For now, you just hear Prabhupada and what he's writing in his books. And don't pay too much attention. When you become more and more purified, more and more advanced, then you'll be able to perceive that Krishna is not only speaking to you, but also Krishna can speak to you from others. You'll become more attuned and you'll realize, here is this person yelling at me, screaming at me. This is Krishna trying to tell me something. That's why I said in my last Bhagavatam class here that it's you know you have a good wife because she's always on your case. Because she keeps you humble and she keeps you honest and she's not going to tell you that you're all that. She's going to say, you know what, Nirantar Prabhu, you're not all that. Or in your case, you have the other devotees, your temple leaders. That's Krishna talking to you. You see? You understand what I'm doing? Is that okay? All right, we have some questions online. And we'll try to answer them one after another. Glad to see you all chimed in. So, let's see the first question. When Chiman says, when will Krishna come as promised? Well, the verse already said, Chiman, when you're constantly devoted to serving him with love, right? He will show you how to come to you, come to him. So when you're fully surrendered and when your feeling of separation is so intense that you actually feel that if Krishna doesn't come, that you will feel like you'll give up your life, Krishna will come. So all I can say is we have to continue our devotional service and make it so that there is nothing else but devotional service. And then when we're actually ready, Krishna will appear. So Brenda Lee says, how do I learn to do devotional service properly? You need the association of devotees, Brenda Lee. You need one or all three gurus. You need a Vartma Pradarshaka, one who can show you the way, a Shiksha Guru who can give you instructions, and ultimately you need a Diksha Guru who can initiate you in chanting. Yes, Brenda, you have a home altar, very good. Offer your food. Read Prabhupada's books and chant Hare Krishna. Anita says, you have mentioned that demigods are also conditioned. Does that mean they also have the four problems, birth, death, disease, and old age? Not in the same degree that human beings have. Demigods are in a much different position. But yes, they're still conditioned souls. Eh? That's the end. The conch shell has blown. So we'll see you all next time, next week. Next week we're going to have a special class because it's the appearance of Lord Varaha. So next Wednesday we'll have a special Varaha Katha. Thank you for attending. Hari Bol. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And now we will have Aarti and Kirtan. Hey, hey, hey. Stop your nonsense. Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, Novato is north of San Francisco. So thank you. Hari Bol Chakrarat. Hari Bol, everybody. Hare Krishna. Kadamba from Visalia. Hari Bol. Hari Bol.